want to congratulate you on the Planet Hulk release. That's what we're talking to you about today. And I guess the place to start is there's the graphic novel Planet Hulk, and I know you're down here as the writer for the animation feature. Are you also the writer of the graphic novel?
No, that is Greg Pak, P-A-K, just a tremendous talent. I was brought on to adapt it to animation.
Okay, when you take a look at something like a graphic novel, obviously there are differences to things being presented on a film than there are in that kind of media. So what are some of the concerns you have to address as soon as you take on a project like this?
Well, it's important to not get bogged down with the sentiment of something like this, the huge scale. I mean, this thing went on for over a year. This comic book story rolled out issues for over a year. So there's one thing to keep in mind, and that is we need to find the definitive narrative for this story. Now, in the comics, you get the chance to explore a lot of subplots, a lot of other characters and what they're going through, and not necessarily how they directly impact the Hulk. And it's great fun. You can have huge, long scenes of people talking in a book, great conversations, but to put that on the screen, it just kind of, you end up with animated talking heads that don't necessarily propel the story forward. So it really is. It's starting from just, I guess, the basic through of the story, and that is the Hulk's journey in this case. Once we've determined that is what everything else has to service, then it becomes easier. Then I go through, because instead of condensing everything into the running time, I'm now expanding it into the running time. And so I choose the scenes and the characters that right out of the book that best support Hulk's journey from monster to hero. And so I'm able to actually tell a story, rearranging a few of the things out of the book to support, just so that they're in there, not necessarily in the place they were in the books, but now servicing our story. And so anyway, that's kind of the general approach to something like this.
Okay. Did you have any contact at all with the other Greg, the writer of the graphic novels?
He was a consultant on it, and Marvel had submitted, I believe, the first draft script to him, and so he was sent some very helpful notes, including the pronunciation of names, and because I had them all wrong in my head. definitely very helpful, and it was great to get his input at that stage. And then we incorporated as many as we could, and then really the schedule was pretty tight, and we went into recording sessions pretty soon right after that.
Was there a lot of rewriting after the project started?
I would say not really rewriting, but more trimming out of things that were becoming, taking away from our main story and forcing us to do short shrift on some characters' backstories. Like there's a character named Meek who has a very big role in not only Planet Hulk, but World War Hulk that follows, and we had to make some tough decisions on how much we could get into his character, because he really has, a bigger impact on the following story. So knowing that we might not end up animating World War Hulk,
right.
Or we might, we just don't know,
right.
we had to treat this one as a movie that was going to be all by itself. So we finally decided, yeah, we could pull back some on his character's story arc and still maintain the essence of his Meek's little accomplishment. So I don't even know if I answered your question.
Yeah, no, you did. You really did. That's kind of what I was looking for.
Okay.
Also, when you're writing this, I mean, do you, at the point when you were creating this, did you already know who some of the voices and such were going to be? So when you wrote this, did you try to write to those voices or strengths and such, or did that not enter into the equation?
No, that's a great benefit to have, like on an animated series, once you actually hear the actors
right.
Performing the lines, you tend to start writing for those characters and for those actors, I mean. But for this, the first step is the script. You don't even really know who you're casting until the script is final. Unfortunately, no, but the voices were in my head as much, but you know what? The source material was just so rich that you definitely got a feel for them all. You know, each one of the characters has a very unique personality, and so it wasn't hard to find the right voices once everyone understood, you know, who they were.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that. And while you're creating this sort of thing, you know, every writer goes through a situation where there's something you absolutely love that you had to cut. Can you tell us something that didn't end up in Planet Hulk as we see it that you just had a hard time letting go of? Something that didn't make the final cut.
Yeah, you know, I'm always, I guess, reticent about something like this, reticent about, you know, belaboring too much of the stuff that I couldn't get in there.
And, sure.
Because, you know, it is an adaptation of a huge epic saga that needed to fit into less than 80 minutes. So there are going to be a lot of things. There's some cast changes from the book to the movie that we needed to make for a lot of different reasons, not just creative. So there's, you know, but I actually think, you know, one character substitution that we did make is actually makes more organic sense for our movie than, so it actually, you know, I think benefits the film.
And what was that?
I think overall, if I mentioned Meek and his backstory,
right.
He really did have some cool stuff going on. So I guess I regret not having the time to explore a lot of that.
Now, how involved were you once the production got underway, from the voice work recording to the actual animation work being done? Did you have any input or any involvement in that at all?
I had input in the casting. Some of the creators of the project were issued CDs of auditions, and so we would choose our favorites and narrow the list down, and ultimately Marvel would make the final decision. I didn't have any real impact in from storyboard through animation into post until we needed to trim, and then I looked at a rough cut and gave suggestions for trimming, and then also for, they call it ADR.
It's, right.
It's when you finally have the film back and it's basically locked, and you're just realizing that a line here, a line there, or something else is needed to help the scene. So I would write those, and then the actors would come in and re-record some lines a little differently, and then also record the new lines. So I am kind of involved throughout, but mostly from a writer's perspective.
Now, what about from the animation perspective? If you were writing a script for live action, you would include stage directions and descriptions of environments. Did you have any kind of direction for the animators to go in and what it was you were picturing and this action happening in?
Yeah, basically, an animation script is just like a live action script. There's, you know, just generally, there's the slug line, interior, exterior, where you are. There's the action, depending on, you know, explaining the locale. If it's important, explain it. Otherwise, it's desertscape or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Different things that I would include in the description. Usually, you know, these things are just so trim, these scripts, that you write only what's necessary for the artists and the designers to get it. You almost hand feed the delivery for the actors by highlighting certain words. Obviously, there's always the freedom to move beyond that. But what I want to hand in is something that I know in my head will get the point across. And then obviously the board artists will go and create something just terrific out of it. And the designers, I'm clearly a writer and not a designer, because when you hand someone something and they design it, a location, it's usually so much better than I ever would have imagined. It's usually a lot bigger too. I give just enough to get them going. Unless it's critical to the plot, then I get more specific.
Now, how about in your background? Were you a comic reader when you were young?
I was not. I read some. I shouldn't say I wasn't, but I read some, like Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
When I was real young, it was the Disney stuff.
Sure.
But not too much of the superhero. My involvement came just... I guess my love for the medium came later, so that when I started writing animation and I had an opportunity to story edit a series, an Iron Man series in the 90s, I suddenly... This was a great opportunity to suddenly understand the love of the fans have for these characters all at once.
Sure.
Just like Planet Hulk, I hadn't read it before until we were talking about doing it. And so I got to read the whole thing, cover to cover, one sitting, made lots of notes. But I really, really loved it. I didn't have to wait, every month for
sure.
A new issue.
That's an advantage,
isn't
it?
I am a fan of the work, but I just didn't grow up comic books on my shelf.
Now, you gave a great segue to my next question when you were mentioning Disney. Since this film, this project's been obviously taken a while to develop, has the combination of Disney and Marvel affected the production at all, or did you not feel any of that in your work?
None whatsoever. The film's been actually done for a few months. The script was... I turned the final script in March of 2008.
Oh, okay.
And it's just the process. I'm sorry. The process of animation. It's a year. You got post. It's just a big long process. And really, the stuff with Disney when it was announced was the first I heard of it.
Right.
So it really had no impact on any of these things that were already in motion.
Well, then tell us what your background is.
I actually have a background in art. I have a degree in art, but I started out in live action development. Had an opportunity to write a freelance episode on a series called Biker Mice from Mars, and that show was owned by New World Animation.
I think I remember it.
Yeah, it was kind of hooked into Marvel in some way. The show was the series, and so when it came time, and I was brought on staff, and when it came time to choose a story editor for the Iron Man series, then I was approached to take on the second season.
So,
and so it just became a real wonderful, strong relationship I've had with the folks at Marvel. Starting with Rick Unger, Javier Rod, Craig Kyle. Eric Rollman. It's been a very, I'd say, mutually beneficial relationship. They appreciate my take on the Marvel properties, and of course I appreciate the opportunity they've given me.
Yeah. Have you had any interaction with Stan Lee?
Early on, in the 90s, during some of those shows, he was a little more involved. He attended some of the story meetings. The Hulk series that I did in the 90s, he was part of the development on that. But he's not been so involved with the current stuff, no.
And finally, what is it that you're up to next? What can we see you involved in coming out?
Let's see. Well, I'm currently story editing head writer on Wolverine the X-Men for Nicktoons. Working on the second season, and the next MLG movie out, which is the Marvel Lionsgate partnership on these animated features.
Right.
Is Thor: Tales of Asgard, and I wrote that script as well.
I think we've been seeing trailers for that, both in the more recent release and on this one. There's a quite a bit of a segment from that feature on there.
Exactly. That's going to be released in 2011, kind of making the year of Thor, since the live action.
Yes.
Film will be released at the same time. So yeah, I'm excited about that. It's finished, and it looks great, and so I'm excited for that to come out.
Now, it must be difficult when you finish
something. I'm excited to get the second season of Wolverine the X-Men back on track.
Yeah, that must be difficult when you've finished something, you've seen it, you know how good it is, but the public's not going to get to see it for sometimes a year from then. How do you take that?
Yeah, this is the first time it's ever happened to this length of time. Usually, you know, Planet Hulk was a long wait, but, you know, Thor was actually written before Planet Hulk, and they just decided to swap the release because of the live-action Thor.
Right.
But, yeah, the waiting, it's difficult. I know Thor is going to be received. I believe Thor is going to be received well. The trailer's out. The opening clip, I think, is out on the DVD.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going to be forever before that thing finally hits the shelves. But I think it'll be worth it.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about it. We're going to be reviewing the Blu-ray of the Hulk Planet here in the next few days, and so we're looking forward to that. It's these have been some good releases that Marvel and Lionsgate have put out.
Thanks. Yeah, I think so. I've done a handful of them. Chris Yost has written a couple of them. And everybody puts their real heart and soul into these things. Nobody's just dashing these off. These aren't phoned in at all. Everyone involved is really just in love with the projects. And so I just hope that comes through, you know.
It does.
I believe it does.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I've had a chance to see a couple of these now, and they're remarkable.
Oh, thanks.
Well, listen, once again, I want to thank you for your time, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again when the Thor animation comes out. We're looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, get in touch. We'll do this again.
All right. Well, you take care, sir.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.